Brother Clyde will give us words of exhortation.
Good morning, everyone. This 24th chapter of Luke that we had read this morning is one of those interesting chapters that I would refer to as a complete chapter. I have used the thought of a perfect chapter, but that's really not correct and helpful to say that, but certainly a complete chapter, according to my reasoning. It's a complete chapter because it has a number of things in it that makes it complete. And to help with that, I have four words I'd like to share with you this morning. Four words that I think help to understand what a complete chapter is and how complete this fourth chapter of Luke is. The first word is the word revelation. All right, the first word is the word revelation. And we should turn, while we're thinking about this, to the 24th chapter of Luke. The second word is inspiration. Right, the first word is revelation. The second word is inspiration. The third word is illumination. And just so you can see where we're going with this, the fourth word is application. And that's what our brother mentioned in his prayer this morning, wasn't it? So the first word is revelation. The second is inspiration, the third word is illumination, and the fourth word is application. Now, just to give us a little microcosm of what is to come, let's go to the first few verses of this chapter and see where these ingredients are and how they fall within the first nine verses. I don't think I'm stretching the text here or trying to, you know, create some type of edifice that isn't there. But to begin with Revelation, the tomb was empty. The stone was rolled away. That is one of the most important revelations in history. Revelation. They went into the tomb and saw two angels gleaming like lightning. That is revelation. And then the two angels, or the two men as they're called here, began, you'll notice, in verse 6 to say, he's not here, he's risen. And they began to speak to the women at the tomb. And they went on to say, remember how he told you. In the inspired word of the Lord himself, and of course, in all of those scriptures about him. Remember how he told you while he was still with you in Galilee. Verse 7, the Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men, be crucified, and on the third day be raised again. That is the inspiration of the truth of the text and all of the history of that. Verse 8 is illumination. They remembered his words and went, oh, yeah, that's right. I know. I remember. That is illumination. Then in verse 9, we have application. Because none of that would be any use at all if they didn't do something about it. And so you'll see that when they came back from the tomb, they had to tell the other apostles about it. There's something inevitable about this information, brothers and sisters, that forces us to tell others. That is application. So we have there in the first nine verses, the revelation, the inspiration, the illumination, and the application. The revelation, of course, is fundamental to our understanding of Scripture. God speaks to us through his revelation. He reveals himself to us, of course, in many different ways. For example, he reveals himself to us through his creation, and we all agree to that. Psalm 19, verse 1 tells us that. The heavens speak of the glory of the Lord, and the firmament speak of his handiwork, and the spring speaks of the creative genius and glory of the Lord. And when we see that day after day, it's uttering forth the revelation of God and who he is and what he is. So God speaks to us and reveals himself to us through his creation. God reveals himself to us through his word. And in the beginning, of course, of creation, he said, let there be light, and there was light. And so this was a powerful word that had consequences. God reveals himself to us through his word. God reveals himself to us through his Son. both in his words, the Lord's, Jesus' words, and in Jesus' his ministry. Hebrews chapter 1 tells us in verse 2 that God spoke in various ways in time past through his prophets and through various other ways. He has now spoken to us through his Son. So the revelation of God comes to us through his Son. God speaks to us and reveals himself to us, as we've already said, through the open tomb. This, as we've said, is the single most important act of revelation in all of history. If there was no open tomb, there would be no reason at all for us to be here today. And Paul tells us that in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. No point wasting our time any further if we weren't fully convinced that this tomb was opened and that Jesus is alive. Jesus is alive. God speaks to us through the open tomb. No other act in all of creation is so important to us than this single act that these women witnessed at this moment in time. Now, embedded in Luke chapter 24 is one of the greatest one-liners in all of Scripture. As a matter of fact, when I was reading this last week, I was so committed to this that I had to put it as my main quote at the bottom of my email messages. So everybody in April who gets an email message from me will get this one-liner that I think kind of summarizes the whole thing. If we wanted to kind of one single line of Scripture that sums it up, it's verse 5. Why do we seek the living among the dead? In a way, it's kind of rhetorical, but it's a great question. It's a great question that needs to be considered, and it needs to be answered. And this is as a result, of course, of the open tomb. I have no doubt, and I'm speaking for myself, I'm sure, as well as you, excuse me, that we spend an awful lot of our lives, a great deal of time in our lives, seeking the living among the dead. Looking in all the wrong places, brothers and sisters. We seek life. We seek fulfillment in all the gods of this world who have eyes but don't see and ears that don't hear and mouths that don't speak. We seek the living among the dead in our own religions that often are the work of our own hands. There's no life there. There's only life in this remarkable reality that the tomb is open and Jesus is alive. God speaks to us and reveals himself to us also in many, many different little miraculous moments in our lives. And I know that we all have an agreement on this too. That speak to us that God is alive and that God is working in our lives. That's revelation. Inspiration, of course, is the fact that the angels were able to speak to these women a message that they understood that had come from the very words of God himself and from the very words of the Lord himself. Inspiration is God speaking to us and to his people throughout time through his word, especially. Jesus was the word made flesh that dwelt among us. And so they had all of Jesus' words. Jesus, in verse 24 and verse 27, remember, was talking to these folks as they were going down the road, and he was speaking to them, in verse 27, from Moses and all the prophets. And you'll notice if you read the verse carefully, it wasn't just about Moses and the prophets. He explained to them what was said in all the scriptures concerning himself. That's inspiration. And the wonderful thing was that they knew. They'd heard this before. These scriptures were familiar to them. They were missing some links, of course, but these were inspired scriptures that they were familiar with, that were part of their life. Verse 44. He said to them, "This is what I told you while I was still with you. Everything must be fulfilled that is written about me in the law and the prophets and the Psalms and all the scriptures." That's inspiration. God not only reveals himself to us in his creation and in his word and in his son, but he reveals himself to us through his word that he has carefully caused to be written down for our learning and for our instruction. Paul, of course, says in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16, all scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness so that the man of God may be thoroughly equipped with every and for every good work. Peter, 2 Peter 1, verse 21 says, "For the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spoke as they were moved along by the Holy Spirit." That's inspiration. What is the exhortation for us? Well, the exhortation for us is that we really need to make sure we know what we're reading, to make sure we're reading the right book and the right word. We read lots of things, but let's make sure what is inspired and what isn't. Because it is in the inspired word that we find the truth about Jesus and about God. Number three, we have illumination. They remembered, verse 8. Now, all the revelation in the world and all the wonderful, miraculous information that we would receive from God, not only through his creation, but through his word and through his son and through the empty tomb and all the other ways that he speaks to us, and all the miracle of the inspiration of the scripture that we all agree upon would be absolutely of no value whatsoever if we didn't get some type of illumination from it. That is to say, if we didn't make some kind of a connection, if we didn't remember, or if our eyes weren't opened, for example, verse 31 of Luke chapter 24. He took the bread and he broke it and their eyes were opened. The light went on. And they said, "That's it. Now I get it. That's what he was talking about." And they recognized him. I suggest we don't recognize Jesus without that illumination. Verse 45. Verse 32. And they ask each other, "Were not our hearts burning within us while he talked with us along the road and opened the scriptures to us?" That's illumination. The connection had been made. It was all worthwhile because they understood it, their eyes were opened, and they saw. For God, who said, "Let light shine out of darkness," made his light shine in our hearts to give us the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. That's the exhortation to us, brothers and sisters. All the revelation and all those intriguing, inspired scriptures have no value whatsoever without illumination. It doesn't happen to us either in some Damascus Road experience. And sometimes I think we wonder why that is. With Paul, it was a bright light that blinded him, and he got it. He made the connection. The illumination was dramatic along the road. And other people saw it happen. It doesn't happen to us quite that way. It happens to us, I suggest, in those many moments of enlightenment, of observing and reading and understanding and considering as our eyes are opened up slowly to the light. And we need to pray. This is the exhortation here. We need to pray, brothers and sisters, that our eyes will be opened. Now, all of the revelation, all of the inspiration, all that wonderful illumination that we have is of no value at all if there's no application. And You know, sometimes we sit around and we talk about all these wonderful things, and this is great, and I understand that, and wow, I saw this from that verse, and this happened to me, and so on. If there's no application, again, it's all for naught. When they went to the tomb, and they had the revelation of that stone rolled away, and the inspiration of the angels telling them about everything that they should have known, and that moment of recognition and remembrance when they said, that's right. Now I get it. Now I remember in verse 8. If they hadn't gone and told anybody, what would have been the point? And they went to the others, to the 11 and all the others. We're not sure how many there were, but there were a number of them all sort of hanging around, wringing their hands, thinking, what's gone on here? You know, our life has been shattered. Woe is us. And these women ran to them to share with them. There's none of us really that can experience the revelation and understand the inspiration and receive the mind-opening illumination of the light without going off, running off and telling somebody. Now we have to remember too that they don't always listen to us. That's one of the frustrating things about all of this. They said, well, it's the women, right? In verse 11. And that's okay. They saw it and they believed and they ran to tell the others. And I guess it was the men who were going, well, you know. Well, the NIV said it seemed to them like nonsense. Isn't that something? They should have known. Now, I'm okay with that because, you see, it seems to me that when it comes to illumination and application, as I've said before, God has no grandchildren. If we don't get the light ourselves, if we don't get the experience ourselves, if we don't get the inspiration, there's no point in that either. There was no power for Peter in some secondhand knowledge or some secondhand religion or experience that these women had had. So let's go have a look. And he did. And he was convicted. And they got up in verse 24 and verse 33 from this meeting, and they returned at once to Jerusalem, and they found the assembly, and they said, it is true in verse 34. That's the application. And then they went back to Jerusalem, to hang around in Jerusalem, worshiping in verse 52 with great joy, continually in the temple, praising God. This was the application. Now, I know they hung around Jerusalem a little bit too long, and the Lord had to deal with that later. But in the meantime, thousands of people came to the Lord in Jerusalem. That's the application. You can't take information like this and put it under a bushel. You have to take it out to the world. We need to do something about this information immediately. That's the application. And Brother Jeff was giving his wonderful exhortation last week on just these types of things, about how these things should be affecting us and how it should have an effect on our heart. My mind went to Psalm 119. And I was listening to you, Jeff, but my mind sometimes just goes off in another direction, Psalm 119, because this, I believe, is application. How does it work? How do we make this thing work? It is something that's embedded in us. And that's a term that we use today, but it's embedded in us. Psalm 119, verse 9. We'll start with verse 9 and go to verse 11. But it says, how can a young man keep his way pure? He can have all the information, revelation, and inspiration, and illumination, and all that, but how's it going to work? How's he going to make this, how's he going to project this into holy living and so on? By living according to your word. Right? So that's the application. All of this information, it becomes embedded in our hearts, and therefore that becomes, if you like, using a rather crude modern analogy becomes the operating system in our life. And some of you know, my motherboard burned up on me 4 weeks ago, and I had to go get a new computer. And they wanted to know what operating system I wanted. You know, I wanted the old Windows XP Professional, or whether I wanted the new Vista operating system. What is an operating system? Well, it's a program, a system whereby all the other programs and functions of life work. It's a platform, basically, upon which all other programs in life function and work. If you don't have an operating system in your computer, it doesn't work. All the other things you put in, it doesn't work at all. The application means that this revelation and inspiration and illumination comes down to the seat of our emotions, to the very basis of our heart, becomes the operating system of our life, so that all the programs and all the activities of our life work according to this system. And verse 11 of Psalm 119 says, I have hidden your word in my heart. That means embedded, basically. And the result of that is, the application of that is, so that I might not sin against you. That's how it works. And that's how it's applied. So, the chapter is sort of complete in that sense, isn't it? Because it has the revelation of God. It has the inspiration with the law and the prophets and all the other scriptures. And how that inspired eternal message was there to illuminate the minds not only of these first century disciples, but to open and illuminate our minds as well. So that, in the end, we can apply this information and this wonderful, miraculous experience to our lives. And Jesus, of course, is all of the above when we think about it. Jesus is the revelation. He who has seen the Father, he said, has seen me. Jesus is basically all that the Father pleases to reveal about himself to us. Jesus is the primary revelation now in our lives. Jesus is the inspiration. He said, my words, they are spirit and they are life. Jesus is the illumination. He said, I am the light of the world. He is that light that shines in our hearts to dispel the darkness. Jesus is the application. As we share this bread and wine, these symbols this morning, Jesus is the application. Greater love, he says, has no man than this. Then he lays down his life for his friends. You are my friends, he said, if you do as I command you. So in bread and wine, we see these symbols of his gracious, saving sacrifice. We see Jesus as a revelation. We see Jesus as the inspiration, the illumination, and the application.